This is Sungjae from Gyeonggi, Korea, and you're listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 67 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have another good episode for you today. We're going to talk about grammar and vocabulary and small talk and a lot more. You can subscribe to the Everybody ESL podcast at Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like Everybody ESL, leave it a good review so other people can find out about it too. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. In the last full-length episode, I told you about words that describe different kinds of movies. And in this episode's vocabulary section, I want to tell you about words that describe stories in general. And the first word on our list is plot, P-L-O-T. The plot of any kind of a story is all of the things that the characters do and anything else important that happens. All of that is the plot of the story. The next word is protagonist, P-R-O-T-A-G-O-N-I-S-T, protagonist. The protagonist of a story is the main character. Sometimes the protagonist is called the hero. The protagonist of a story is the one character we are watching, the one character who is making lots of choices and doing lots of things and really making the story happen. And what do you call the character who works against the protagonist? You call that character the antagonist. A-N-T-A-G-O-N-I-S-T. The antagonist. And in some stories, we call the antagonist a villain. The antagonist, or the villain, is the bad guy in the story. In most stories, the protagonist is the good guy, and the antagonist is the bad guy. Now, even if these characters are not actually men, we still sometimes use those words, good guy and bad guy, to mean the hero and the villain. There's one thing that all interesting stories have, and it often occurs between the protagonist, or the hero, and the antagonist, or the villain. And that thing is called conflict, C-O-N-F-L-I-C-T. Conflict means any kind of action against something. So most exciting or interesting stories have a conflict. They have a competition, or they have a fight, or they have a struggle, or they have this person against that person in some way. Conflict doesn't have to mean a physical fight with people punching and things like that. It can be any kind of important disagreement that leads to two people working against each other. That is conflict. How about this word, flashback? F-L-A-S-H-B-A-C-K. A flashback is a scene or an event that takes place before the action of the story. You might be reading a book or watching a movie about an old woman who is near the end of her life. And suddenly we see a scene of the old woman when she was a young girl, and we see something important that happened that maybe changed the course of her life. Well, that scene, where we see her as a young girl, is called a flashback. It's going back to something that happened in the past. And in a story, a flashback often explains something that's happening right now in the story. Here's another thing that most exciting stories have. It's called suspense. S-U-S-P-E-N-S-E. Suspense is that feeling that you have when you are waiting, You are excited, you're nervous, waiting for something to happen. You know something's going to happen, but you're not sure what it is. And maybe you're a little bit scared to find out. Now, the part of a story where the protagonist and the antagonist finally meet and their conflict finally reaches its boiling point, its hottest point, that is called the climax, C-L-I-M-A-X. That is the moment where everything finally happens. Everything finally comes out. It's often the most exciting part of the story. And in many stories, the climax is where the protagonist finally wins. The protagonist finally defeats the antagonist. The hero finally beats the villain. Here's a word you often see on the internet. Spoiler. S-P-O-I-L-E-R. A spoiler is information that reveals a secret about a story. It's called a spoiler because it spoils or ruins the suspense, or it spoils or ruins the surprise. Maybe you have been waiting for weeks to see that big, popular movie, and you don't know what happens. You don't want to know what happens. You want to be able to watch the movie and experience it all like it's brand new. You want to be surprised. But then you see on the internet somebody has written a description of the movie, and it spoils or ruins the surprise. They have told you everything that happens. Now you won't be able to enjoy the movie the way you wanted to. That kind of information is called a spoiler. And that's why when people give that kind of information in descriptions of stories, they will often say, spoiler alert. In other words, they're telling you, they're giving you a warning, an alert, there is a spoiler coming up. If you don't want the surprise to be spoiled or ruined, stop reading. If you keep reading, it will spoil the story for you. It will ruin it for you, and you won't be able to enjoy it. Well, those are our story-related vocabulary words for the week. It's time for this episode's small talk topic, or social situation. In this episode, I'm going to tell you what to do if you are shopping in a store and a salesperson or a clerk comes up to you and asks you if you need any help. Well, what do you say if you don't need any help? What if you're just looking casually, and you don't have any special question, and you don't need any kind of help from the person who works in the store? What do you say? Well, this is a very simple situation because there are really only two things that people usually say in this situation. So let's say you are in a store and you are looking at a bunch of sweaters, and you're not even really interested in buying any of the sweaters. You're only looking at them. Maybe you're there in the store with your friend, and your friend is trying on some clothes, and you're just passing the time. You're just waiting. The salesperson comes up to you and says, "Hi, can I help you with anything?" Or, "Hi, do you have any questions?" Well, if you don't have any questions and you don't need any help, all you need to say is one of these two things. The first one is, "Oh, no thanks, I'm just looking." And the second one is, "Oh, no thanks, I'm just browsing." And here, browsing means looking at something casually. And once you say one of those two things, the salesperson will say to you, "Oh, all right, well, let me know if you have any questions." And that's really all there is to it. It's a very easy situation to deal with. All you need to do is say, "No thanks, I'm just looking." Or, "No thanks, I'm just browsing." And that will take care of the situation perfectly. The topic of this episode's grammar lesson is one of English's modals. Do you remember what modals are? I'm sure you know what they are, even if you don't know that word. Modals are sort of like helping verbs, and they tell us something about the relationship between the subject and the verb. Modals include words like can and must and might and may. And each one of these modals conveys a different kind of meaning or a different set of meanings. Modals can be very difficult. Many English language learners have a hard time with them because the meanings that they give to a sentence can be very subtle. Modals can really convey a lot of nuance, a lot of small differences in meaning or attitude. And the modal that I want to talk about today is should, S-H-O-U-L-D, should. I have seen many discussions about the modal should and what it means, and I think often people get the explanation a little bit wrong. So I want to tell you a good way that I think you can think about the word should. First, let's go back to some of those other modals. Let's start with can, as in the sentence, I can play the violin. The modal can is conveying the idea of ability. I can play the violin is the same as I have the ability to play the violin, or I am able to play the violin. Or look at the modal might. Might conveys the idea of possibility, as in, they say it might rain later today. In other words, they say that it is possible that it will rain later today. So what kind of meaning does should convey? Many people say that should conveys a sense of obligation. In other words, the idea that something must be done. But I don't think that's right. Should conveys the idea of appropriateness or something that is expected by other people. So if I say a sentence like, you should call your brother on his birthday, I'm not telling you what you must do. I'm not telling you that you are required to call your brother on his birthday. No, when I say should, I'm saying it's appropriate. It's a good idea. It is expected. It's proper. I think when you hear the word should, it's good for you to think of the word proper. Here's another example. You should always wear a seatbelt when you are driving. You should always wear a seatbelt when you are driving. In other words, it is proper. It is expected and it is appropriate. It's a good thing for you to do. In the case of seatbelts, it is proper because it's the law and it's safe. Now, while it's true that should, like the other modals, can have many different kinds of meanings, I think the usual meaning, the most common use of should, is to convey the idea that something is proper or appropriate or expected. Can you make any sentences with the modal should? Well, I'm sure you can. And if you do, I hope you'll send them to me so that I can share them with everybody in the Everybody ESL community. Well, that is this episode's grammar lesson. And now, it's time for... the joke of the week! That's right, the joke of the week. A joke that is probably not very funny, but it might help us think about English in an interesting and fun way. And here is this week's joke. What starts with E, ends with E, and has one letter in it? What starts with E, ends with E, and has one letter in it? This sounds mysterious. Do you have any thoughts about this one? Well, let me just give you the answer now. What starts with E and ends with E and has one letter in it? Envelope. The word envelope starts with E. It ends with E because it's spelled E-N-V-E-L-O-P-E. And, of course, an envelope has a letter in it. Now, the reason why this is a joke is because the word letter means two different things. When you hear the joke, you're probably thinking about letters as letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, and so on. But when you hear the answer to the joke, you remember that letter means something else. It also means something that you write to somebody, a message that you write down on a piece of paper, and you put it in an envelope and send it to somebody. So that's why envelope starts with E, ends with E, and has a letter inside it. It's quiz time, and here is how the listening quiz works. I have four sentences here. I will read each one two times, and I will read them pretty quickly. I will read them at a normal conversational speed, and it might be a little bit difficult for you to understand everything and catch every word. After I have read each sentence two times fast, I will read each sentence much more slowly, and I will explain any interesting or unusual vocabulary or grammar that might come up. If you need to go back and listen to these sentences again, or listen to them many times, that is completely fine. Here is sentence number one. I spent a nice afternoon browsing at the bookstore. I spent a nice afternoon browsing at the bookstore. And here is sentence number two. Her conflict with the boss is getting out of hand. Her conflict with the boss is getting out of hand. Sentence number three. My nephew will find out his test grade next week, and the suspense is incredible. My nephew will find out his test grade next week, and the suspense is incredible. And sentence number four. When you send a letter, you should always write the address neatly on the envelope. When you send a letter, you should always write the address neatly on the envelope. Okay, well now it's time for me to read the sentences much more slowly. Sentence number one. I spent a nice afternoon browsing at the bookstore. I spent a nice afternoon browsing at the bookstore. Now remember, browsing means looking through something in a casual way. If you spend some time browsing at the bookstore, it means you're just looking at books on the shelves and maybe taking a book off the shelf and flipping through the pages and just seeing what the bookstore has to offer. Maybe you're not even going to buy anything. You're just looking. You're just browsing. Sentence number two. Her conflict with the boss is getting out of hand. Her conflict with the boss is getting out of hand. Do you know that idiom, out of hand? Out of hand means out of control, or too big, or not reasonable. So if someone's conflict is getting out of hand, it means the conflict is becoming too big and not reasonable or not sensible or out of control. Sentence number three. My nephew will find out his test grade next week, and the suspense is incredible. My nephew will find out his test grade next week, and the suspense is incredible. In other words, that feeling of nervousness or fear and wondering what will happen, in this case, wondering what kind of grade he will get, is incredible. It's hard to believe. It's so intense. And sentence number four. When you send a letter, you should always write the address neatly on the envelope. When you send a letter, you should always write the address neatly on the envelope. And this sentence uses that modal should that we talked about earlier this episode, and it means it is proper, it's appropriate, it is expected, it is appropriate that you write neatly. If you write neatly, that makes it easier for everybody. So you should write neatly. Okay, well, that's the listening quiz for this episode. How did you do? And that's the end of episode 67 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about English, or if you have comments or suggestions for me about the podcast, or if you would like to record an introduction that I can use at the beginning of a future episode, the same way Sungjae recorded the introduction that I used at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.